Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hey, what is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? No discrimination here. You've joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. If it's your first time joining us, how did you go this far into the show without backtracking first? But if you did, then I will say welcome. You've got a lot to catch up on, and this is what we do here. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how we feeling, dude?
We're feeling cold. We had a massive dump of snow and freezing rain here today. I think it's cold and snowy everywhere in North America right now. According to our Discord, and you'll understand why when you hear all the manifestations tonight. But I'm here. I'm done my work week. I'm ready to rock and roll with one of our all-time favorite guests, Mark Kammeyer. Why don't you work your magic and introduce our most popular guest to everyone else?
I shall, but I must say what I'm hearing is that Ponsatucky Phil is a liar. Is that what you're trying to tell me over there?
He was this week. Well, it's warm enough, but we had another foot of snow and some freezing rain on top of it, so. Ugh. All that meant was I couldn't travel for work today, so I'm here with my whiskey. I'm taking my whiskey home, and I'm ready to rock and roll all night and party every day. This is a Kiss show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Kiss show, all right. Yeah, that's how they roll in Saskatchewan. You've been warned. But enough about that. Joining us on the show once again, as Corey said, the most popular guest on the show, without a doubt, Kelsey, a.k.a. Kelsey Van Halen. Welcome back.
Yay. Hi, so good to be back. I missed you guys. I listened to the live show that you guys did after the fact. I was very jealous I couldn't be there, but it sounded like a blast. And also, it was 65 and sunny here today. So,
well, I tell you what, Kelsey, we have now finished off Van Halen 2. So March's live show is going to be Van Halen 2. If you have any dates that might work around your schedule, send them my way, and we'll try and plan it for that night.
So March 8th is a Friday night. It's my birthday. So that's just a suggestion. would be fun.
You're going to hang out with us losers on your birthday? Oh, come on.
And talk Van Halen? Absolutely. Absolutely, I will.
There you go, folks. But March 8th, we'll be breaking down Van Halen 2 live on the interweb.
We'll double check with that because March is the birthday. But we'll see.
Mark may have a gig.
Fun, though.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but yeah, I would love to. I was like listening to it, and then I like, oh, I watched it on YouTube, and I was like, God, I had a great night, but I was like, I would love to be there. It looked like so much fun.
It
So.
really was. Yeah, I know somebody was giving our boys grief for it being a long show and having too big of a panel, but fuck them. Fuck the haters. We're all about just getting on a call with our friends and talking Van Halen. That's what we did.
Right.
And it was a blast.
Look, I thought it went by a lot smoother than some of our other live shows.
That's
so
true.
I don't know why people are complaining.
A lot less editing required on the OU812 show than some of our other shows. So
exactly. So goes to show you. But
you
just,
can't please
we
everyone.
Still, yeah, I can't please everyone, but the ones that we do try to please, the enthusiastic ones, still remain enthusiastic, and we appreciate you. And I'm talking to you lurkers in the chat right now, so thank you guys for being here, as always. Corey, what's going on in the world of Van Halen news via Van Halen News Desk?
Oh, we got all sorts of things. Of course, not all of it positive, as per lately. Let's talk a little bit about Sammy Hagar and Wolfgang Van Halen's band Mammoth WVH playing at the Music Cares event. To honor one John Bon Jovi. Sammy, I believe, did You Give Love a Bad Name. And Mammoth.
Of course he did.
Yeah. He really wanted to do Wanted Dead or Alive, I hear, but they talked him into You Give Love a Bad. I believe Orianti played guitar with him on that one, which would have been a pretty
cool.
And then Mammoth played Have a Nice Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I watched that video. They absolutely killed it. Oh,
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet they did.
All right, David Lee Roth. You know what? He's been in the news a little bit. I'm not sure if you've heard this. My Lord, David Lee Roth. Yep, he. different kind of story behind why Van Halen's final studio album is not on streaming services. Basically, once again, blasting Wolfgang, blaming him for all of his own problems. I thought the quote of the week went to Sammy Hagar, who at that Music Cares event just kind of said, I detect a tinge of jealousy. But when it comes to Dave Lee Roth, maybe because, I don't know, Wolfie has a career and Sammy's getting a lot of press for the Best of All Worlds tour. And no one's really talking about Dave, so he's just got to talk a lot of shit and try and just besmirch everybody and keep his name in there. I don't know. No one knows why he's doing this. And as we had Darren Palchowicz on the show, he's like, no one in Dave's camp knows why the hell he does what he does. But yeah, he basically said, because Wolfie, this was your album and it stunk and nobody bought it. That's why it's not on streaming services, and they didn't want to pay the lawyers for it. It's just the typical horseshit he's been spewing, ruining his reputation with Van Halen fans lately. I know on the Discord, Chaz especially was one of them who just said, "I'm fucking done with this guy." Like,
it hurts.
Yeah,
I think I tweeted when I think whoever put it, I think it was the Van Halen News Desk. I literally was like, every time he posts one of these, I like sigh. I'm like, please just stop.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm like, please, I can't keep defending you. Like, please stop.
No, I mean, he honestly at this point, you know, deserves no defense whatsoever.
He just,
you know,
he'd just be talking over there.
Yeah, you know, and
like, oh yeah, that guy.
We also have to bear in mind, Dave's getting old, and I mean, he's old. He's been old for a while, but he's getting older. And sometimes when people get old, their mind slips. And it's not as if Dave's history, shall we say, of recreational things hasn't been damaging probably to the brain. So you put all that together and it just makes this perfect spiral of a shit storm. And Dave, as we've talked about this, Corey, we've talked about it a lot. Like, Dave's going to do whatever he's got to do to make sure his name still stays relevant. And as long as the name of Van Halen, doesn't matter who it is, as long as the name of Van Halen is being muttered and talked about into, you know, the ether, as it were, he's going to have something to say about it, especially if he's not the focal point of said Van Halen chat, you know. And now people are talking about Wolfie because Wolfie has put out two back-to-back albums that are spectacular, and he's building his own Van Halen legacy. And God forbid, you know, Dave can't have that because he's not involved. And you know, it's just, it's all ego, and it's all just this egomaniac gone absolute chaotic awry, you know. And that's what, you know, we can appreciate the music that he put together with the brothers and with Michael Anthony and such. But we can also separate the fact that, yeah, these albums, they're great. We love Van Halen in all aspects. But fuck that guy. Just, you know, to hell with him. Like, we can be done with him. So my curiosity goes towards, I wonder how people are going to vote now when we spin a Roth era tune. Like, are they going to vote the same way or are they going to feel a little bit differently? That's not to say that I think that the percentage of Sammy votes are going to raise any higher, unfortunately, as much as I wish they would. But now I just wonder if people are just going to be like, nope, I'm sick of Dave right now. I don't even want to give him a thumbs up. So, I guess we'll find out. But all that to say, to hell with him.
Scott Everett in the chat says, Sammy should have just tried no comment. Wouldn't that have been a nice to step above the fray? Not really Sammy style. And I think maybe he's trying to defend himself and even Wolfgang a little bit. Like, this guy's coming out of nowhere. It's like, and I know Sammy's taking his shots too. But in terms of, Wolfgang talk shit. I don't think Wolfie's ever really, you know, he just kind of pointed out, like, you know, the contract expired on a different kind of truth. We're trying to get it back on. But there's some in the camp that are making it difficult. And you can kind of put two and two together. And that's really all he said. He didn't really say anything bad about it.
Easiest math.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I'll give you three guesses. You'll only need one.
Yeah.
Who's holding up?
You really only need one. And I mean, if you feel very strongly about a different kind of truth, then this might upset you. Me, I'm indifferent on the album. So it's just like, fine, you don't want to have it streaming, it doesn't bother me. The only thing it bothers is the fact that whatever percentage of royalties Wolfie would get and Alex, they won't be getting from that album. So they're like, well, that's a shame. But at the same time, Dave won't be getting it either. So
right.
I like the record.
I would like to hear She's the Woman again, but that, I mean, like, there's a few songs on there that I used to really like to listen to. But I mean, like, I don't know, every Roth era pre-2000 was pretty good. So I'll listen to that for now. You know what I mean? I'll continue to do what I've been doing, but I would like to hear that song again.
Chaz in the chat, DLR equals ain't got that stuff no more. So I'm pretty sure he's off the Dave bandwagon. Yeah.
He keeps proving he don't got it because he keeps releasing songs of himself singing and like, stop it.
With his 92,000 pot bill he wanted to boast about. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
$92,000 pot bill. Jeez.
He's become the Bobby Fischer of rock. There's a take from Scott Monroe.
that's like Snoop Dogg levels of,
well, I remember pot bill. I watched, I think it was, I don't listen to Joe Rogan, but I listened to the Joe Rogan episode that he was on, and one of the breaks that they had when they came before Dave had come back, Joe Rogan was literally like, damn, that's some good pot. I was like, damn, that's crazy. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, kudos on the high class pot that's,
I guess,
endorsed by Joe Rogan. But at the same time, it was like, cool. But that does not diminish the fact that you are evidently a very shitty person, Dave. So, you know,
well,
Godspeed, I guess.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Kevin Brown, who says DLR being a knobber right now isn't going to change my voting. Not going to let him affect my love of these songs. That's kind of where I'm at too. Yeah, if he wants to be a
dickhead.
That's
why I say, sure. Like, this is an example of, like, we, at least in the terms of this show and of Van Halen listening, I guess you gotta separate the man. I won't even say the artist from the art. I'll say the man from the band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's do that.
Scott Everett says, Wolf doesn't need any protecting. He's got it. Sammy is part of the problem. And maybe you can make the case, maybe Sammy's talking a little too much, but, you know, he has his own differences with Dave. That tour that did not go well. So I don't know. I can kind of see where Sammy's coming from.
As far as I'm concerned, Sammy can say or not say all that he wants at this point, because especially like if Dave's going to, you know, come after him, like, would it be nobler for Sammy to just kind of go, I don't care, I don't listen to it? Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, it's just kind of go, okay, it's Dave. So, like, I'm gonna say just this one thing, and then, you know, hopefully that'll be the end of it. It probably won't, but, you know, I don't know. You can get provoked only so often before you finally have to retaliate.
True that. All right, let's get off the Dave Lee Roth stuff. There's only a couple more articles here on the Van Halen news desk. Of course, making sense of the Van Halen's year-long internal conflict. That just links you to a section from Darren Paltrowitz's podcast. He had a guest on, and they were talking a little bit about, you know, Van Halen's history and how they're one of the most dysfunctional rock bands in history. So you can check that out. And then Rick Beato celebrates Eddie Van Halen with guest guitarist. A really cool little video where they're breaking down some EVH on his YouTube channel. They play a little Ice Cream Man, play a little Eruption. There's the clip of it there. You can catch that. And, of course, much, much more on the Van Halen News Desk, cryptw.vhnd.com.
Right on. Good stuff. Well, then, talk about unprepared. I am supposed to go to the poll, and it's not pulled up. It's all good. I was just, I got so distracted by that story and heated that I was like, I didn't even remember to pull it up, but it's fine. So, last week, you guys, we discussed somebody get me a doctor, and thus ending our run with Van Halen 2. That's another album that's done. It's in the books. So now all we got to do is do a live show and rank it and talk about it. That's going to be loads of fun. So naturally, this being old school Van Halen, let's say, because, you know, Van Halen 2, you can kind of guess where the voting's going to go based on previous history. And sure enough, here we go. We got a 95.4% vote of what Dreams Are Made Of for Somebody Get Me a Doctor versus a 4.6 Dream Is Over. And Corey, we talked about the song. Like, we both really enjoy the track. It still holds up. It's fire, as the kids say these days. So I'm not shocked by the positive voting. What I am shocked about is it seems like a high percentage of downvotes. And I know a lot of people are not going to be happy about this. What are you surprised by the voting outcome?
You know, this is about where I put it. I figured it was going to be in kind of the low 90s. 95 is pretty good. Actually, I was looking for a while there. It was over 96, and I thought, oh, this might have a shot of being, you know, maybe top five. So I was trying to encourage friends to create burner Twitter accounts and vote positive, because it's one of my favorite Van Halen songs. But as it stands, you know, it finishes seventh right now on our rankings. Somebody Get Me a Doctor, right below Unchained and right above I'll Wait. So pretty good company. It's actually the lowest 95 we have here. I'll Wait was 94.7, but you know, it might end up a top 10 when we're all said and done, which I think is a pretty good place for somebody to get me a doctor.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, I'll throw it to you, because you're right at the top there. Your tweet under the poll was, if you see one down vote, it's on site. And we got over 300 votes and 4.6 people said, nah. So what do you say to those 4.6 people?
I don't know how you could not like this song. That's how I feel about it. I like that right after the intro when the riff kicks in. I remember the first time I heard this song, it was in my car, and I literally was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, oh my God. Like, that riff is so full and just like heavy, like, as in terms of like Van Halen to me. Like, I think not heavy as in like music terms, but like, oh my God, that riff hits you like a train. Like, it's like, oh my God, this is, I don't know, I love this song. So that's why I said that, because I'm like, I don't know how you could not like this song. Like, I guess whatever, but like, every time I put that on, that song makes me go at least 20 above the speed limit. So
so it's a hazard. This song is a hazard.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I don't know, I love this song, and I think it's like, it's, if I'm introducing someone to Van Halen, that's one of the first songs I'm going to put on, because it's just so, like, it's so raw and hard, and it's fire and it's a banger.
It's
so,
everything Van Halen is. I could not agree more.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like, it's so, it is really, it's raw, authentic Van Halen to me. Like, it is so, it's just a riff, some banging drums, and some screaming vocals. Like, I think it's so good. Yep. So that's how I feel about it, and it is on site. So
Jeff Brewer in the comments says it should be way above I'll Wait, and I 100% agree. It should be well above I Wait.
I love I'll Wait, but
same. Like, I really, really like that song a lot, but Somebody Get Me a Doctor, just as you say, it's a banger. So it's let's find out what people are saying about it. I doubt we'll probably get a negative tweet, but you never know. So with the tweets under the poll, and as you guys know, we read out loud on the show tweets from people that are on the Patreon. So if you want your tweets guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. It's easy. We'll find a tier for you. If there's something that you wish we had that we don't, we'll figure it out. Otherwise, join up, join the Discord as well. That's where the conversations really take place. So you can be like Heath McCoy here, friend of the show. Heath McCoy. He says, this is classic Van Halen at their most primal and combustible. Eddie, Alex, and Michael are on fucking fire. Roth is howling like a wild, drunken Pasadena Tarzan, as per the song's plot. The harmonies are incredible. Eddie's solo's jaw-dropping. Does it get any better? I mean, with that review, I don't know. I don't know that it gets any better than that. Right. So we know how he feels about this. Way to go. He says it. Never mind. All right, Kevin Brown. Old Kevin, is he not in the chat?
Oh, Kevin, my Kevin. Yeah, he says in the chat, this is a definitive Van Halen song. Every single part of what makes the first era great is amped up to 10. And somebody get me a doctor.
Yeah.
He also said, without being an insufferable gatekeeper, I don't get how you could possibly be a Van Halen fan and not like this song. It's a top five Van Halen track for me. Tone, groove, riff, howls, harmonies, balls, sweat, fire, attitude. Yes, he said balls. Who gives a shit about the lyrics? Just listen to it. There you go. There's a fine example of a Van Halen song that we can all enjoy and we don't have to analyze the lyrics. I wish you guys would give Sammy a pass more often with those, you know, with that set of rules, but we'll talk about that later. It's fine. Rave a Flave says, tonight's show was a truly enjoyable one. He's talking about last week. Great spin and a great guest, but unexpected circumstances have me. He's not really. Here it goes. How dare you disparage the Fool Bug fucking swinger?
I like the Fool Bug. Yeah, compared to this, really, I think is kind of what we're getting at.
Yeah, there we go. I see what he did here. So he has more like a lot to say. So let me find his first tweet here. It's all over the place. I don't know why Twitter did this, because Twitter sucks. Where you at? Okay, it's fine. The bridge, that valley in the song, that's Ed, Mike, and his bum-bum, and Al's hi-hat noodling right before Ed's lead. But before Ed's lead, a train whistle, a fucking train whistle. Who makes that work? And more importantly, who gets away with that? In 1976, Blue Oyster Cult made a do with a cowbell. Want to know why? I'll tell you. It's because only Van Halen had the cojones to let simmer down now and wait 3 more years to bring in a train whistle. Ow, ow, ow. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ow, oh, woo, 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 woo. I assume that's supposed to be a train noise. That's what dreams are made of. My work here is done. I'm going to assume Rave a Flave was very drunk when he tweeted these out, because some of it's nonsensical, but I kind of understand what he's going for there. So sorry if my reading of that was lackluster. I was very confused trying to make it out, but thank you, Rave a Flave, for your words. Let's see here. We go Scum and Rose in the Discord. Moving on. Davey Lee Smith says, bring on the heavy artillery. That's all I have to say about that. Hashtag what dreams are made of. So, yeah, keeping it very short and sweet. Brad Gould says, quintessential Van Halen sound. Amazing guitar, driving rhythm, spectacular harmonies, and a great lead, but poorly aged singer. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Yeah, poorly aged indeed, Brad. You are not wrong about that. Our friend Scott Everett says, an absolute hard rock masterpiece. That riff just sticks in your head and does not let go. The harmonies are pitch perfect. One of my absolute favorites live over the years. Trolls should be put down for downvoting this one. Ooh, he's speaking of euthanasia. It's crazy. That's what we do here. Greg Zito says, love this track. I think it should have been the first single for Van Halen 2. Do you agree with that, Corey?
I got no problem with that. Yeah. Like, yeah. I love Somebody Get Me. I said it was maybe top five all time for me, Van Halen. So
I would agree.
It's going to be hard not to rank this number one when I do the Van Halen 2 rankings sometime in March. March 8th, we're hoping. a certain somebody's birthday. I can't think of a better way to celebrate a birthday than, you know.
Exactly.
Talk about Van Halen 2. My favorite Van Halen record. So
Yeah, so that's it for the tweets. We're going to head on over to the Discord where the real manifestos happen here. So speaking of Scott Monroe, here he goes. He says, this party rocker is so far beyond what dreams are made of. It's overloaded with greatness. For me, the magic is in the simplicity. A straightforward everyman lyric with a classic catchy as hell chorus. Musically, it's a roller coaster that captures the madness going on in the head of our whacked out narrator. There are lots of fun Van Halen rockers, but this one is just pure joy. It's a tight smash and grab track, clocking in at just under 3 minutes, and it exudes wild energy that instantly puts me in a good mood. Really hoping they bust this one out in the summer on the Best of All Worlds tour.
Yes.
With Mike Anthony doing stellar job on lead vocals. God,
that'd be great.
That would be so cool.
Is it the best track on one of Van Halen's greatest albums? I'm wrestling with that question, like the rest of you, as we ponder our Van Halen 2 rankings. But I think it's got a hell of a shot.
DOA is on that record, too. Beautiful Girls is on that record.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we love this album so much. So, yeah, that one's going to be a challenge for sure. Let's see. Josh says this song completely rules guitar wise. My holy grail for guitar tone. Nice. This represents genius in the way that it should be defined. Nothing to be added and nothing to be taken away. This started my journey on chasing and trying to capture and emulate Edwards' tone. I was a desperate man seeking a desperate fortune. I scoured anything that was available. Shots of his pedal board, amps and settings, pickups and swapping out magnets. I went as far as degaussing pickup magnets on my refrigerator door. Somebody get me a doctor was an appropriate title for my obsessive tone chase. I'm sure I found the proper ingredients numerous times, but a key difference was in the hands. Yeah. Through this process was self-discovery through inspiration / perspiration and acceptance that my own path was more important than trying to follow someone else's. I will always look at Somebody Get Me a Doctor as a standout in my own journey and genuflect at the altar of Edwards' genius. I see what you did there. I like it. And that's awesome, man. That's it. I think that's ultimately what all would be professional musicians try to do, right? They try to chase the thing that brought them into that started them on the path. They're always chasing it because if they chase it, they feel like maybe I'll touch some of that success that this person, this band, this thing has acquired. So in the process, you're going to find your own way. So that's beautiful. I love it, Josh. Good stuff. All right, our buddy Chad says, I really want to downvote this because of all the DLR nonsense that has been going on lately. Yeah, but I upvoted the song. But make no mistake, Mr. Roth, you are a bottom shelf douche with an expiration date long past. # only the good die young. Edited to add that Dave's voice and attitude do make this track. When I watch Mike sing it, there is definitely something missing. Understandable on all fronts. Yeah, I mean, Mikey's gonna sound the way he's gonna sound. He's gonna sound good. But if you're going to, if you're gonna listen to that song live, like now, and expect Mikey to sound like Dave, you are setting an unrealistic expectation. And that's not because Mikey can't sing. It's because Mikey can, and Dave can't. So that's what I'll say about that. But yeah, either way, I think he's going to sound really great if they do this song live. We don't know for sure that they're doing this live for the tour, right?
We don't know. No, they're rehearsing right now, but no set list or anything have leaked or anything.
Gotcha. Well, here's hoping, because I really want to hear what that sounds like.
I would love to hear that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Are you going, Kelsey, to the Best of All Worlds tour?
Well, hopefully I'll work that show. So fingers crossed. So
yeah, that'd be awesome.
It'll be
right in there.
Oh yeah, that's what I did last time. So
that is what,
that's
right.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Looks like you had a good time last time Sammy came through town.
Oh yeah, I'll be there for sure.
All right, just a couple more here. Chaz Charles says, David Lee Roth has lost the right to hold the esteem in my mind space that he once did. His true character is malignant, his behavior a betrayal of all that he stood for in my rock and roll soul. His lies, contempt, narcissistic venom, and selfishness are not what I want in my ultimate party band. The party is over. I should have listened to others, but my blind allegiance is officially over. Love, no longer a Dave guy. He broke my heart. So I wonder if that means, Chaz, that you downvoted the song. Because if you did, cool, but I'm not sure. But I get it. See, this is a prime example of what I was talking about. I think due to Dave's character, it might influence how the voting goes for, you know, the 14 songs we have left. So
it might. You never know.
It might, but or it might not. We'll find out. And then lastly, our buddy Jeff Brewer says, somebody give me a doctor. Van Halen 2 was the third Van Halen album I acquired after 1984 and Diver Down, sometime in the summer of 1984. This song was one of my least favorite on the album at the time. A little over 2 years later, after I started messing around on guitar, this song became a certifiable monster. Everybody has great things to say about this song, so I'm going to agree with all of that without repeating it. Now I'm going to focus on just one part of the song that personally gets me pumped up every time I hear it, Ed's bridge, or lead-in to the solo. Ed was such a master of the volume knob, the way he slammed the volume off, hit a chord, then swelled it back up.
True.
Keeping perfect time pounding out that riff. I've seen tribute acts cheat on that part and use a volume foot pedal to recreate those volume swells, much less talent / effort. I mean, you're not wrong, but at the same time, it's like, look, man,
it's Eddie.
You got to do what you got to do, right?
Right. So.
That little section right before the solo, which is also great, is such a great example of Ed's ability to play exactly what my mind wants to hear. Without you even knowing it sometimes. Like, you don't know what you want to hear. You just know you want to hear a good Van Halen song. And then Ed just sort of seeps into your deep subconscious and go, is this what you had in mind? You're like, I guess it was, because I love it. So there you go. There's the manifestos, as it were. And like I said, you guys, if you want yours guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. It's that simple and that easy, and it's that fun. So, Corey, now what do we do?
Well, we got a couple of Chaz answered your question. You asked if he actually downvoted the song after his manifesto. He said he can never downvote that song. The song is all of them, not just Dickie Lee Douchebag. Which,
thank
amen,
you for
brother,
clearing that up, exactly. Chaz. I appreciate it. Dickie Lee Douchebag. I'm going to start using that. That's hilarious. All right. Well, then, if there's nothing forward, it's time to do our not favorite thing, but our second favorite thing. Everyone, grab your glass, say it with me, and take a drink. It's time for manifestations. Woohoo!
Four time manifester right here. I'm wearing my Manifest Club t-shirt because I called my shot last week. Four times now on the show.
Four times.
In 119 episodes, I called my shot. So you can get this in her.
Make sure you get, when you call your shot that many times, you get a complimentary shirt.
That's right. And you know, while you're at our T Public store, get the Kelsey Van Halen design, too, that we have on there.
Cheers.
But there that means go. We have to manifest again here tonight, Mark Meyer. So do you want to go through the Discord, or do you want me to?
Well, I have the Discord popped up, so figure why not. But I tell you, this one's easy because the majority of it is the same song, yes, manifested by everybody. Scott Monroe wants summer nights because he could use some warmth now in the dead of winter. It was actually warm today, so you can come borrow some of ours if you want. Chaz said he wants summer nights. He was gonna do Josephine, but realizing that Kelsey was gonna be on the show, Scott suggested to give you a break on that one. So he said, fine, summer nights. So that's two for summer nights. Josh also wanted summer nights with an interesting picture. If you want to know what that is, everyone get on the Discord and go check that out. It's hilarious. Let's see. Jeff Brewer also wants summer nights because he's jumping on the Scott Monroe bandwagon, but also they just want the song. And let's see. Tom Armbruster is, he says, focus, people. Don't make me have to sum up everybody's request again. No need. I'm on top of it, Tom. But Tom is manifesting Amsterdam. So, and then also, new to the podcast, our buddy Brett at Dissect That Film. Thank you and welcome. He says, wham, bam, give me Amsterdam. And of course, our friend Kevin Brown is also manifesting Amsterdam. So it's a fight. It's a fight between Summer Nights and Amsterdam. And just to add one more, there is one other vote to manifest Amsterdam by.
I see her in the corner. There she is. Here. Hey.
Hello.
Christy has joined us on the show once again after all this time. So with her being here, I mean, like, I feel like the wheel gods have to throw us a bone, right? There's only so many songs we can spin. So in light of that, I too am going to say Amsterdam.
All right. Kelsey, what song do you want to hear tonight? Are you all, you going to manifest one of those two, or are you going off the board here? We got 14 songs left on the wheel.
I love Summer Nights. Would love, that's a great one. But the one I'm looking at, I would love to hear Little Dreamer. That would be super sick. Or The Dream Is Over. That's one of my favorites too. So,
oh, and that would finish off the Fuck album too, if we got the Dream Is Over tonight.
Oh, damn. Yep. So we're in the home stretch now.
Yeah.
I guess it's just me left. All the manifestations are great. I would be happy with any one of them, but because of all the trash that was thrown towards A Different Kind of Truth this week from the guy who was the fucking lead singer on that record, I'm in the mood for a little Different Kind of Truth. Give me Bullethead tonight. That's what I'm hoping we spin here tonight.
Oh, Bullethead.
I heard an oh, no. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Okay. It could have been The Trouble with
Oh,
Never.
Atomic Punk is on here, too. I
Atomic Punk? Yeah.
It's still hanging tough. Yeah, it's... Yeah. That and Jamie's Crying. We almost did Jamie's Crying, but because of me... it's still on the wheel, so
yeah. Little Dreamer too, still there, so
yeah.
Yep.
All right, well then I think all the manifestations are set. How many lurkers we got in the chat?
Oh, last time I looked we had 8, so if we count the 3 of us, that's 11. Let's count Christy too, that's 12.
There you go.
I'm gonna shuffle the fuck out of this. 1, 2, 3, 4 11 and 12.
If you shuffle the fuck out of it, that it's only one song. It's only one song left in the Fuck album.
You are correct.
I'm scared.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, did I do it 2 weeks in a row?
No. No way. Oh, my God.
Bullet head.
Ladies and gentlemen, Corey.
2 weeks in a row. That's 5.
In the words of Booker T. Five times.
Oh, my
champ.
Goodness.
Look at that. Called his shot 5 times.
Oh, sorry,
Bullet
Christy.
Bullet head it is.
Oh, everybody's going to be mad at me now. I should have thought this through.
I mean, I think either way, it was Bullet head was in the cards for us, unfortunately, tonight. But I mean, but look at you. Look at you with your, now you got to get a new shirt.
That's, yeah, 5. Oh, geez. Everyone, yeah, I told you. Damn you, Morissette. Rigged. God.
Rigged. Yeah, everyone's like, rigged. It's rigged.
They all saw me shuffle.
Yes. God. I can confirm there's no rigging. He's pushing a button, and it just spins and then stops when it decides to. So.
All right. Well, because I have to bring up my old iTunes app because I have
A
Different Kind of Truth on CD. And I ripped it into iTunes. You guys talk amongst yourselves while I bring up Bullethead here.
So here's one of the issues with the lack of streaming of this particular album is because you know, now we have to do things analog style or close to it, and that's just inconvenient. It's inconvenient is what it is, and in podcasting world, inconvenience is a major disturbance. And, you know, that's when things just happen. And sometimes things don't go your way when you're dealing with that sort of thing. Should I keep rambling or I can keep going.
Keep rambling.
It's fine. So let's see. Kelsey, what are you hoping to hear? Let's say that you do get to work that show for the Best of All Worlds summer tour. What are you really just hoping? You're going to be right there. Possibly, likely, right backstage, you're gonna hear the music in full force. What are you hoping to just absolutely gotta hear?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm trying to remember the songs that I heard last time. I would love, this is probably not going to happen, but I would love to hear Love Walks In. That's one of my favorite songs. And I think I would burst into tears if I heard that song. So that would be, that's like just something like so out of the realm that I think of possibility that I think would be so cool if it did happen. Now when I think, because I don't know if he's going to play any day. I know he's going to play some, but I can't, like, I don't know what it'll be.
Yeah.
Other than the hits. But other than that, I'd love to hear Black and Blue. That would be a great song to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorites of the Sammy era. So yeah, either of those would be super cool.
Yeah, that's kind of the, it's part of the fun, but also the, I guess if you're like us, the frustration of like, God, what is he going to do on this particular tour? He says he's going to do Van Halen era tunes. He's bringing in Mikey with him. Mikey's going to sing some of the Dave era stuff. Like, okay, but which ones?
Right.
I assume Jump, although like they,
right.
It also kind of wouldn't shock me if they decided not to do Jump just because it's just so huge of a song, but I don't know. They might, but I don't know. Other than that, I mean, there's a whole list of songs that I would like to hear Mikey do of the Dave era. And then there goes with Sammy. I can predict maybe three songs that I'm quite sure he will do on this tour, but then that just leaves so many others kind of just on the table of maybe, could be, we might do it. We might do these songs during these dates. We might interchange them,
right?
And do these songs. And so, the people that work at setlist.fm have got their work cut out for them, I'm sure, because especially if they decide to sort of interchange tracks, but time will tell.
Yeah, they played Ain't Talking About Love, and Mikey sang it when I saw them last.
Oh, wow.
But who? That's the other thing. It's like, who knows? I know they'll do. I could see them doing You Really Got Me. I know they've played, like, when back in the day they played that. But I don't know. It'd be really cool to hear some Dave stuff, because it's like, at this point, I don't know if I'll ever see Dave. So it's like, you know, you'll be like, you know, I already paid a few hundred to go see him before and it didn't happen. So like, you know what I mean? So
yeah, for me, I don't even want to see Dave.
That's how I mean, like, that's the other thing is, like, I would go just to do it. You know what I mean? Just for me, because I never got to see Van Halen. So like, I would go to do it. But like, I don't know if I would do what I did last time or was supposed to do last time, is like fly and go see him. But you know.
Understandable,
you know, especially after all this.
Yeah, he's like pretty much solidified that a lot of fans are done with him.
It's like really heartbreaking. Like, it makes me so sad.
It's sad, but it's just like it's pathetic in a way, because it's like, you
like,
just
dude, shut up.
Yeah, you're just coming across as just a bitter bastard, and that's not a good look for you, you know.
And I'm like, what are you doing yelling at Eddie's kid? Like, what? Like, dude, stop. Right. Yeah. Like, he was what, in his I mean, I don't know if he was he a legal adult when they toured? I can't remember, but
I'm pretty sure he was, or at least he became one at the very
he had
least,
to be like so young, and I'm like, what
sure
are you doing, dog, talking about a kid? Like,
yeah. I just,
how old are you?
Because he's
this fucking
exactly,
kid.
Because he's David Lee Roth. He just.
Well, I tell you what. Going to the chat, no one's real happy with me. But Chaz says some of Ed's best guitar work is on A Different Kind of Truth. Fuck Dave for keeping it from everyone.
I know. Yeah. I love this. I love the production on this album. It's
really
it's
great.
Good.
Absolutely. Tom is mad. He says, Corey, you're supposed to use this power for good. My apologies. Jeff says, so who is it that actually runs the wheel? Is it the guy who keeps calling his shots? He's calling shenanigans, but I assure
Damn,
you.
That's crazy. Oh
man, we're losing them, Corey. We're losing them.
You all saw me shuffle the wheel. You all saw me hit the button. Come on.
Dude. Oh, I'm still on your camp. It's just
allegedly.
Yeah. Josh says a hat trick plus allegedly. Two. Well, if I get one more, that'd be a hat trick plus two, because a hat trick is three. So if I get another one, that'll be six.
Like, the next show, if you call your shot again, I mean, and the thing is, it's gonna get easier. Like, the more the songs keep dwindling out. But I mean, yeah, if you do twice in a row, like, I might have to be like, try again.
There's only 14 songs. It was easy. Kevin Brown says, Mark, tell us a joke. One about turtles and an unfortunate turn of events with a faulty umbrella. That's how you fill.
Okay. There was a turtle who had a faulty umbrella, and then the turtle got wet. End of joke.
That's crazy.
Like, I don't know what joke they're...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wanting me to tell there, I don't know.
Hey, guess what? The sexiest man in podcasting is on my side. He says, I'm fine with it. Someone has to have your back. Thank you, Scott Haskin.
Yeah.
I got one ally in the chat. Scott Monroe says, does Best of All Worlds imply we're getting a Gary song? I'd be okay with without you.
What if on one of the dates, Gary makes a surprise appearance?
That'd be all right.
Damn,
he invited everyone. Yeah,
that'd be very cool. Hint, hint, Nashville. Hint, hint. Anyway.
So he was 16 originally, and then he was 20 or 21 during A Different Kind of Truth. So when they did the first reunion tour, he was a minor and then became
still, like, what are you doing yelling at a 21-year-old? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just like...
Dave's become that old boomer that's like yelling at the sky for, you know, like, get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
When it makes me think, like, there's no use in speculating because obviously, but like, I wonder, like, if Eddie was alive, would he be doing this? But like, you know what I mean? Like, what would that be like? Just back and forth on Twitter.
I don't think he would, I say this like I know remotely what goes on in the head of David Lee Roth. I don't. I don't think anybody does. Right. But I would like to think that he wouldn't be so brazen as to go after Wolfie with Eddie still around. Because
That's how I feel. I'm like,
because I feel like Eddie would just go like to Dave's house and punch him in the mouth.
Drive a tank up.
Drive the tank. Yes, the tank. Yeah. He's like, you know, I got a tank, right? Shut the hell up about my kid.
Like, I got a turret on this Hummer. Keep speaking.
keep talking, Dave. Keep talking.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Do you guys want to hear a little bullet head?
I guess.
Not really.
Okay. I'm glad everyone is so excited. I'm excited anyway. We're going all the way back to 2012. This is the album that David Lee Roth said everybody hated. And it was a real crash and burn for Wolfie, even though Wolfie just wanted to record something with his dad and wanted to get Van Halen back together, which is not a bad thing.
No.
DLR, whatever the fuck you say.
And wasn't most of this like OG Van Halen? Like
a lot
like
of it was.
Yeah, that's like they had written these songs back in the day.
Including this song. This song traces all the way back to 1977.
There you go. Yeah. OG Van Halen.
There you go. So let's go back to all the way to 1977 in the club days and a little bullet head. All right. My karma just ran over your dogma. It seems like the kind of bullshit lyric, daily, just trying to find something that sounds cool together that means nothing. Mark, you're muted.
So y'all want to keep talking about Sammy's stupid lyrics? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Bullethead, bomb the moon until you're crazy dead. There you go.
I think if they recorded this like back in the day, it would have sounded like really good. But I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's good. I love the rhythm, and I love the way that the drums line up with Eddie's guitar. And like I said, I love the production on this album. But I just feel like, I don't know, I feel like it would have sounded a lot better back in, you know, the 70s.
So. Oh, yeah, like especially late 70s, with David. Early 80s. For right. Sure. What the hell is a bullet head anyway?
You're in danger. I drive just like you. That's all you need to know.
Oh, my God.
Scott Ever in the chat says, great riff. This was the most strained Dave sounded on A Different Kind of Truth. And he does sound strained here. Like, vocally, it's not his best performance. Then you get into the fucking live album they did from the Tokyo Dome, and he just sounds like awful.
He was probably high as shit when he went into the booth. And so, like, he's barely got his voice intact. And he's like, I don't know, I'm just making shit up on the fly.
Freestyling.
Yeah. That's essentially what this is. Like, seriously, okay. I'm just not gonna stop on this. Like, I seriously, all of y'all that rain down on Sammy's lyrics so hard and insist that Dave is the better lyricist, you take a good look at this fucking song and you tell me exactly what he's trying to say.
All right, here. You know, if we're talking overall, he's the better lyricist, but Dave definitely has his stinkers, and this you can put, I think, right up there.
I'm just saying, we got like. Call it fairly. That's all I'm saying. Like, call it fairly.
Oh, lyrically, this is as bad as almost anything Sammy's ever done. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Scott Monroe in the chat says, you can really tell Dave can't keep pace with the trio.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the music's kicking, right? And Dave's, struggling, to put it mildly. All right, let's keep going. How many roads must a man walk down before he admits he's lost? We going nowhere, trouble busting through. Yeah, I'm rolling slowly, but I'm ahead of you. Bullethead, bomb the moon until you're crazy dead. Bullethead, got a different kind of truth. Bullethead, yes, you are danger. I drive just like you. All right, before we get into it, Kevin Brown agrees with Mark. These are lazy, phoned-in lyrics. But Chaz says, more importantly, it's about driving in L.A. If you've done it, you know. I've never driven in L.A., so I can't comment on that.
I've been a passenger in L.A., so, I mean, fine. I'll give you that one.
Jeff Brewer is a defender of the lyrics. He says, these aren't horrible lyrics per se. Kelsey's right. The song would have sounded better in the 70s.
I think the biggest reason being, I think Dave would have sounded better. He is definitely the force that is holding this song back from being like a real banger, for sure. At least to me, he is. So yeah, this is off to a very rough start for me, as I'm just gonna tell you now.
Each line is a bumper sticker. Yeah, well, I like that's sticker. The other thing is, like, I think David like could have totally pulled this off. Like, this song would have sounded like, I don't know, his voice back then, I feel like could have totally pulled this off, and like, it sounded really good. You know what I mean? But I think just the way that he sounds, because like, obviously he's older, and like, I feel the same way about like Axl Rose. Like, there's a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. There's songs that they put out where I'm like, damn, you really could have pulled this off back then. And it's not a bad song. It's just like, it would have flowed a lot easier. And also it wouldn't have been so striking with the kind of voice that he had back then. So I understand. The bumper sticker.
Well, he says he's not making this up. Chaz, are you saying that every single line in the song came from a bumper sticker? Well, I'm a loving the horn, baby. Well, I'm a bullet head. Come on, come on, come on, come on, baby. Well, I'm a bullet head. That's not a bumper sticker?
I mean, it does. There are some of these lines that do feel like Dave just swiped it from a bumper sticker.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Some days you're the dog, some days you're the hydrant. If everything's going your way, you're facing the wrong lane. Like,
yeah.
Sure. All right, let's keep going.
Bomb the moon until you're crazy dead, because what the hell does that mean?
Exactly.
Well, I'm a love on the horn, baby. Well, I'm a bullet here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, baby. Well, I'm a bullet here. Hurt me.
All right, what did we think of the solo, folks?
Well, the solo was fire.
Yeah, the solo was <We're>
like Tom. I mean, Tom called it. He's like, "It's up to the solo to save it." It's like, well, if you're gonna pick a solo to save a song, that's definitely the one you use. Because Jesus, I mean, not just Eddie though, but like Alex is doing his thing too. What I will say though, right before the solo, Dave does this. Eddie does this amazing dive bomb squeal that you all know I'm such a huge fan of, and I love when Eddie Van Halen does it. However, it's ruined by Dave's stupid vocals, because he is dragging this song so hard. This is like a quick tempo, fast-paced song, and he is just dragging it, and that's not good. That's not a good thing at all. But the solos, it's awesome.
So I was going to counter that.
Go ahead.
I actually really like his low register in this, like, and like, granted, I'm partial, because like, I guess back in the day, I think David is very sexy. And so like hearing that low, like the way that he talks, I'm like, that's the Dave that I know. That's the Dave that I like. And hearing that low, like those words, I thought that was like, I was like, okay, this is actually, I can get down with this. But I understand, like, with this rhythm and this song, like, it doesn't necessarily fit. But I honestly, I was like, okay, I thought that sounded pretty good compared to the screaming that he's doing, or like the way that he's straining his voice on the rest of the song. So I don't know. But like, I understand, like, seeing it, and then the solo comes right after it. So it's like, you know, and the solo, I always say, like, I think every time I've been on the show, I've said that Eddie does so well, like, crafting a perfect solo for the song. And I think this was a beautiful example of it. Like, it just sounds so good, and his tone and everything. And like the production on this album is great. I think it sounds so full. And yeah, I love that solo. I don't think there's an Eddie solo that I don't like. So
that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I kind of side with Kelsey. Not that I find David Lee Roth sexy, especially now. Do you find him sexy
now?
But when he goes that low register, you kind of forget the fact that he can't sing anymore, because he kind of sounded like old Dave. So
he's got that like swag.
Yeah, he's got that attitude. Like, you don't go to David Lee Roth for, you know, vocal chops. You know, he's not Paul Rogers. He's certainly not Sammy Hagar. But in terms of pure like sex appeal and attitude, that's David Lee Roth. That's why he's one of the best frontmen in rock. He may be a fucking dickhead, but he's still one of the best frontmen in rock. So I dug that section. I really dug the solo too. I thought Eddie's tone is fantastic. I'm curious. I've never heard the 77 version of this. I don't know if it's floating out there in a bootleg or anything. You know, if he you know, did anything to the solo from way back then to what he did in 2012. But I thought it was really, really good. Kevin Brown still not convinced though. He says, a song about being pissed off in traffic, cribbed from bumper stickers. This guy can write. Could he not be bothered, or just out of ideas? I imagine it probably he could not be bothered. Would probably be the more likely scenario.
Yeah, probably he couldn't be bothered. Like, I'm sure he had ideas, but yeah, this feels like I can't be bothered, so I'm gonna check out the bumper stickers out in traffic in L.A.
Yeah, Jeff Brewer says, Kevin, it still demonstrates more wit than straight up onto her lunch pail, which of course is one of Sammy's worst lyrics of all fucking time, which
I sure, but is it though? Like, at this point, like, I don't know, man. Like, this one is having a very difficult time standing up against it.
I don't know. My thing is like with like one of my favorite songs, Drop Dead Legs, great song, and then Dave just yells giant butt in the middle of one of the verses, and I'm like, damn dude, like, that's crazy. Like, we were doing so
giant
well.
Yeah.
And I love I don't like I said I love Dave, and like I truly think, actually, I don't know. I honestly don't know who I would consider the better lyricist. I think they both have their pros and cons, I guess. But that's just, that's what I always think about. Like, I'm like, what a crazy line to just throw into such a great song.
It's true. And now we have Chaz, who earlier was ripping Dave Lee Roth to no end, defending him in the chat. He says, Kevin Brown, each lyric in the verse you'll find on a bumper sticker. It was a concept. I can't believe I'm defending the asshole, but that's what he did, just like on Secrets, which Chaz will point out. He did the same with Hallmark cards on Secrets, which Kevin says, and we slammed that song too. We just want consistency, people.
Yeah, I don't know what Kevin. The fuck he's talking about in that song even. I played that song today with the windows down. I was like, but I'll sing every single word, I'll tell you that. Still don't know what it means.
All right, let's keep going. In your trouble, I can feel your pain. No light at the end of the tunnel. Due to budget constraints. Some days you're the dog, some days you're the hydrant. If everything is going your way, you're facing the wrong way. Bullethead, burn the moon into your crazy dead. Bullethead, got a different kind of true. Bullethead.
All right. Oh, well, really? that's an ending. It's just like, yep, there it is. Final thoughts before we go into the voting.
Yeah, it was a song. It was in key. I don't know. We're interesting to see how the vote shakes out on this one. Really interested on the poll too. I will say before I vote, I think it's safe to say probably not the strongest effort from A Different Kind of Truth. I know we were big fans of She's the Woman. Chinatown was another good one. Out of Space was decent. Stay Frosty, Beats Working. Like, there's some good stuff on here. I manifested it because it took a lot of shit this week, and I don't think the album deserves a lot of shit. I still enjoy it, but there's a couple of stickers on that. So we're going to see how this one pans out. So we're going to go to Kelsey first, because everyone loves Kelsey. And I know I could tell she's a little conflicted how she's going to vote on this one. But, Kelsey, is this what dreams are made of, or... is the dream over?
Oh, I can't hear it.
I can't hear it either.
Why can't you guys hear that?
I don't know. It's weird.
Anyways, I played the clip. You can talk now.
Okay. I was like, I don't know when to start. I don't even know how to defend this. You know, like I said, like, I think back in the day, this would have really crushed. And I don't have the heart in me to downvote one of these songs. But, like, I think Eddie sounded, like, everyone else sounded great. And, like, I don't think Dave sounded bad. I just think, like, however old he was here, it's like, this is a very young song. And I just don't think that... I don't think he could really sell it. And but like everything else about the song I thought was really good. Like I loved Eddie, I loved Alex, and Wolfie sounded great. So I thought it was very full. I love the production on this album. And like it has potential. Dave has potential. So, but yeah, I mean I would put it on. I'd be like, all right, just don't listen to the lyrics, which is, I mean, sometimes I'd be doing that with Dave songs too. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it goes, like, you could see me, I was dancing through it. Like, I was like, oh, this actually, you know, so.
Well, there you go. A semi-reluctant, but not so reluctant thumbs up on Kelsey's part. But I still don't think she was fully happy with it, but it's fine.
It's like, not well, the best Van Halen song
yeah,
I've heard.
You said your piece, and that's there it is. So so now we move on to you, Mr. Five-time Call Your Shot. This one is because of you.
Yes,
so
sir.
I guess... what I have to ask after listening to it, after analyzing it and, you know, seeing different perspectives on it, does Bullethead still hold up for you? Is it in fact what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? Oh,
What's great is that the two people on the panel have no idea how I voted.
I'm not even going to know.
But everybody in the show and on the stream currently knows I voted what dreams are made of, but barely. I'm kind of with Kelsey on this one. Dave's not great on this. We all know this, but there's a couple of clever lines. To me, it's all about the music. I love good, hard chugging Van Halen. We kind of get that here. Kind of old school Van Halen. The solo was fire. The band sounded great. Dave brought it down. It's certainly not the strongest effort on A Different Kind of Truth, but it was just passable for me. So, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, it's like a 5.5, which is what Dreams Are Made Of for me, but just barely. So that's 2 in the affirmative here. Mark Kammeyer, let's see if you're going to make it an even 3, or are you going to be the contrarian that you love to be? Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over for you here tonight?
Yeah, no, that's a hard sell. That's a look, it's happened before where we've listened to a not so great Van Halen track and the solo has saved it. And I really, really like, Tom called it earlier. He's like, I think the solo has got to be the thing to save it. And I thought it was going to, because I'm not going to say a bad word about that section of the song, because it's pretty fantastic. The problem is it's too fantastic for this song. And the only reason is because I hate to, you know, say it, but it's the truth. Like, the weakest link in this song is Dave. And I think these lyrics are really damn stupid. I think not only that, though, more than that, his singing, his vocal melodies aren't very, they're not good. You know, like, and I know Dave's not a super melodic singer, and that's not what you, you know, pay the ticket for. No, you go to see the charisma and, you know, hear his voice. Yeah. With the things that he likes to do and that he's good at, but also I felt none of that in this song. Like, and honestly, it was a tough hill to climb, because I've been very lukewarm on A Different Kind of Truth in general. But then this song just, it should have been a banger. I think that's what I'm most upset about. This should have been a banger, because musically it's crazy good. You know, it's like, it's very just push forward. It's got that drive that Van Halen's really good at doing and really bringing it. And man, the guitar work that Eddie is putting out is pretty impressive. And, but the deal is, I am so distracted by just the blah meh-ness of what David Lee Roth is doing. It just, like, it was uninspired. It was not fun to listen to. And then reading the lyrics, it's just like, this to me felt like, wait for it, this felt like a Van Halen 3 song to me. And you guys know how I've been feeling about Van Halen 3. Apologies to Gary, because this one's not on you. But that was the vibe it gave me, because there are many tracks on Van Halen 3, I can admit this, that musically sound pretty good, but then, you know, are brought down by one thing or the other, usually because of, unfortunately, Gary's performance and his lyrics. Like, again, apologies to Gary, but it's the truth. And this song gave me those types of vibes, and I was not into it. I would like to tell you that the influence of current events aren't influencing the vote, whatever. I would like to tell you that. I like to believe that, but it's not helping. It's not helping it at whatsoever. This is just a classic example of, hey, you know, maybe you're not the hype you think you are, and here's a big shining example, this track right here. And so, yeah, for me, no, the dream is definitely over for Bullethead. I mean, and I know you guys were way, way nicer about it than I was, but it was just, I couldn't do it. I wanted to, but I just couldn't.
Well, you're not alone. Kevin Brown in the chat says, wow, you're all are nuts. This is so far below average Van Halen. I'd put everything on the first 4 records, the 6th, and most of the next 4 ahead of it.
I mean, I'm not going to argue against him. I'm with Kevin on that one. I mean, it's just like again, musically, though, like if you took the vocals out of it and this was just an instrumental track, like that shit would be just blazing hot.
Yeah.
As Kelsey said, if this song had been done in the the prime of the band, or even just like early prime, you know, like maybe they could have come up with vocally could have come up with something a little bit more intense and a little bit more, you know, inspired and charismatic. But because it wasn't, and because it's of this era, or the 2012 era rather, and just old man Dave, just you can just hear and feel his lack of enthusiasm.
Well, I tell you, Scott Everett kind of sums up my point, which was it's not one of my favorites on A Different Kind of Truth, but I still dig it. And that's kind of how I was. Chaz Charles says this song actually captures a lot of how Roth puts it forward on stage. Not worried about keeping up, doing his own thing over the top of everything else. The music is killer, Ed and Al. Yeah, can't argue that. That's a fact.
Yeah. Definitely won't argue that the music is killer. But like I said, for me, all the other factors just couldn't overcome it. So, nope. Dream is over.
So, how do you think the poll is going to shake out this week? It's a Dave track, which tends to do pretty well, but A Different Kind of Truth. If I go back and check our rankings, the highest ranked track on A Different Kind of Truth currently is Stay Frosty at 82.5%. So, pretty low for Dave tracks. But everything kind of ranges in the 70s. The only 60s we have is Honey Baby Sweetie Doll. Was 63.5% What Dreams Are Made Of. Tattoo was 70%, and then everything else was kind of in the mid to high 70s. So where do you think Bullethead's going to rank?
I think Bullethead's probably going to rank semi high as far as A Different Kind of Truth goes, for the fact that I don't think a lot of people are going to downvote it because it's good enough for a lot of them. Or like, even if it just barely makes the upvote, that's still an upvote. And that's, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of feel like that. It's like, well, it's not my favorite, but, you know, the music track's pretty good. So sure, but just barely. Or, you know, it's like, you know, it's, I dig that song. It's fine. And, or people are like, I want to downvote it, but that solo was just too good. Can't downvote it. So just barely upvote. So I think it's going to go like that. I think it's not going to, which one did you say is 82%?
82 currently is Stay Frosty.
Stay Frosty. Yeah. I don't think it's going to beat Stay Frosty. But I think it might be close to that.
You know, I'm going to predict right in between Tattoo and Honey Baby Sweetie Doll. I'm going to say 67-68%. Because Honey Baby Sweetie Doll was 63, Tattoo was 70. I like Tattoo probably a little bit better than this one. So I'm going to pick this one about 68%.
Yeah. This should not be above 5150. And if it ends up being above 5150, I'm going to burn it all down.
I saw that. I was like, do we really not like 5150? I was like, damn.
Based on the voting, yeah. Like, I don't understand. I have no clue how 5150 is as low as it is. It makes no sense to me.
Currently, 5150 is ranked 35th in our rankings. It was 86% What Dreams Are Made Of, 13% The Dream Is Over. Right above the full bug.
For a Sammy track, I guess that's voted pretty high. But, I mean, that's still, in my opinion, insulting. But
I mean, it's definitely not one of my favorite Sammy songs, but I don't think it's a bad song.
And somebody, I made a mistake. As Is actually beat Stay Frosty. As Is is number one. Yeah, 89%. Thank you very much.
I haven't heard that song in forever.
Yeah, Jeff Brewer. Good thing he's on the chat every week to keep my ass in line, because I'd just be fucking up left and right. So.
That's why we have you guys here, man.
That's like, right.
You're here to make sure we stay on track, and that is why we appreciate you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be I could see it being above Tattoo, maybe.
Yeah, like in the
I agree
70s?
With Scott, 70-75%, yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I could see it above Tattoo, even though I don't think it should be, but I could see it being.
I could see it too, I think, because it's more like it's faster.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I don't know.
How is As Is the number one song on that record? Like, over the She's the Woman? Like, She's the Woman.
That's
is
how
clear.
I feel.
Yeah.
Don't know. You know, you're also asking a question to the same crowd as that voted Little Guitars as the number one Van Halen song right now, which baffles the hell out of me. It's a good song, don't get me wrong, but it's
the best Van Halen song we've covered. Yeah,
it's like I don't understand that at all. But
that's wild.
Sure, yeah, it is
over wild. Panama.
Yeah, I was just thinking about. Yeah, that's crazy.
Panama's 24th, and that's maybe my favorite all-time Van Halen song. It's 24th.
I think Panama is constantly in my top five songs. Listen, sure. it jumps around, but every year it's all, because it's like one of those songs I'm like, I could be crying my eyes out and that song comes on and I'm like, you know what? But
so what's your number one, Kelsey? Putting you on the spot here, what would you say is your number one?
Well, you know what's funny is when I went to that Van Halen tribute, I was talking to one of the guys about that, and I was like, if I had to pick one, it would be Dirty Movies. I love that song. Everything about that song, like, I could, like, one of my friends, she said, and not because it has anything to do with me, but she's like, if I were to hear that song, I would, like, think of you. Like, that whole, just gives your whole vibe, like, that's the song that would play. And I was like, thank you so much. Because I think it encapsulates, like, the groove and like the sexiness and Eddie's talent and Dave's charisma, and I think it, like, that I'm like, I could never go wrong with that song. But so if I had to pick one, that would be it. And I think I said Summer Nights for Sammy's era if I had to pick one. Or Black and Blue, but I you know, if I had to pick one.
Well, you'll be happy to know Dirty Movies currently ranks 61st on our fan poll of the songs we've covered. It got an 81% What Dreams Are Made Of.
Damn. It's groovy as hell.
And you know what? It's just below She's the Woman, which Jeff Brewer says She's the Woman blows compared to As Is.
You know, I would be interested to see what the male to female ratio of your audience is.
Me
just,
too.
Just out of curiosity.
Considering the one female I know listens to the show is you. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Well, I was gonna say, like, there's Janice, our patron.
Yeah, there's Janice Risco. Yeah, she's a patron.
And Kelsey, and then, like, sometimes Christy.
Cheers.
So that's three.
Holding it down.
Yeah.
So we got three. So yeah, the ratio is not in your favor, Kelsey.
Right. But that's what I was saying. I was like, because that song is just, I don't know. I'll die on that hill with that song, with fair warning. So
there you are.
Play a little Dirty Movies tonight, Mark. You might get lucky.
What's that?
Play a little Dirty Movies tonight. You might get lucky.
Oh, Dirty Movies. You hear that?
No, you got to put on Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I can't. We haven't spun it yet.
We haven't spun it.
Right.
That's my Van Halen rule while we're on this journey. So, but pretty soon I'll be able to just throw on whatever I want. Until that time, wait, I don't think I can hear it because... the technical difficulties, but
I can hear it though. And so, yes, okay. I am playing the Price is Right music. Okay. It's time to play. How many times has Van Halen performed? What did we play tonight? Bullethead. How many times did Van Halen perform?
The one you manifested.
Bullethead. I almost said She's the Woman. It's been a long fucking night.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mark and Kelsey, time to lock your votes in. How many times do you think Van Halen performed Bullethead? Let's go with Mark Kammeyer first. How many times do you think they played this song live?
I'm just going to assume they played it just one time live. That's my vote.
Just one time?
Yep, just one.
All right, Kelsey, what do you think?
I'm going to say like seven times.
Seven whole times? Well, I tell you what, one of you got it exactly right. Mm-hmm. Bam! And his name is Mark Kammeyer. They played it once, according to setlist.fm.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you looked it up. I'm sure you did.
You're literally looking at the screen that you pulled up.
You're correct. December 31st, 1977 at the Whiskey A Go-Go. They played Bullethead between Down in Flames, which is an early version of the song that became Tattoo, and Bullethead. So there you go.
Interesting stuff. There you go. Hey, look, I won. I'm counting it as a win. Hey. I don't care. It's like it's your fault that you had it pulled up on the screen, not mine. So, boom.
You're not supposed to be able to see.
Damn, I didn't even cheat. I could have cheated.
I was about to tell you, like, Kelsey, just look up and take a guess.
Man, everything is going wrong here tonight. Let's just wrap this fucking thing up.
It's all good. So. It's the chaotic energy of that Christy's bringing over here. Like, you can't even like see her or hear her, but she's there just bringing on that chaotic energy over here. But enough of the chaos energy, because that's it for the show. that's it for this episode. And Kelsey, you've joined us once again after all this time. You are highly manifested for everyone else of like, hey, your next guest, like bring back Kelsey, bring back Kelsey. I think there's one guy who listens to us just to check to see if you're on the show. It's like a constant with this person. It's like, bring back Kelsey. Like, yep. Calm the hell down. She was on last week. Like, whatever. So, you
I'll
know, you got
as
you got,
often as I can.
You got fans out there. So tell the people what you got going on, where they can find you.
My Twitter is Kelsey Van Halen. My Instagram is Kelsey Van Halen. You know, I'm hanging around. Like I said, my Twitter is basically me tweeting pictures of Eddie and shitting on my hockey team. That's pretty much it. But yeah, I love being here. It's so much fun, and hopefully I'll be around for the live show, because I was heartbroken when I watched the last one. I was like, that looked like so much fun. So, but yeah, no, I'll be nagging you again, because I need another song. I'm like, I've been manifesting all these songs and I've not gotten any of them, so I'll don't worry, you'll hear from me again.
It'll get easier, because now we're down to the last 13 catalog. So yeah. we're 13. We are coming down to the wire. So yeah, the shooting your shot will get much, much easier. We might have to make a cutoff point after 5, Corey. So congratulations, you did it. You got the
no more manifesting from you.
Yeah. So if you have 13 more opportunities to try and catch up to Corey's 5 gold club. I don't know if we can do it, but take a shot.
What are you at, Mark? Are you 2 or 3? I don't remember.
I'm at 2.
2? Okay.
I don't think I'm at 3. Well, wait. Didn't recently I think I'm just at 2.
I think you're just at 2.
I'll ask the chat. I'll ask the guys and lurkers, like, how many times have I called my shot and nailed it? Is it 2 times? I think that's my max.
You know what? That may be a question on Van Halen Trivia Night, which is coming up live.
Yeah.
February 17th. Kelsey, if you're around, you're invited to participate in Van Halen Trivia.
Oh my God, that would be fun.
There's even a prize.
Show these boys up.
The winner is getting a 100% Van Halen expert t-shirt, courtesy of Mark and myself. So if you're around, that's Saturday night.
At night?
At night, yeah.
Oh, I'm available.
Oh, there you go. You guys can compete against Kelsey.
I just checked my schedule. Hell yeah.
All right. February 17th, that's going down. That's going to be a lot of fun. I know Kevin's been working overtime getting that quiz ready.
Oh my God,
he's doing a lot of dirty things, too, to try and stump everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Dirty things? Oh.
Geez. Oh, you have no idea.
What a tease. You know, love it. I love it when I'm teased that way. So, sorry, I just got myself distracted. Anywho. So there you go. Corey, we have a website, podcastlerock.com. Go there to find all of our backlog episodes. Also, the link to our TeePublic store, as Corey mentioned. Get your Apologies to Gary shirt. And hey, if you have been keeping up and have been calling your shot, then get yourself a Manifestations Club t-shirt that Corey's got on right now. So get all of it. But continue to build my Apologies to Gary army, because I want us to be legion. I just want a mass audience out there wearing these shirts so that Gary will see them and go, what the hell is that about? And you'll have to direct them to the show and be like, please come on the show and talk to us. I have so many questions for you.
Really?
And because we're fans, that's all. So it's all love. But yeah, do go over there and do that. And hey, like I mentioned earlier at the top of the show, we have a Patreon. I say it every week. I'm going to keep saying it until we can't anymore. Join the Patreon, because as Corey and I dwindle down this particular chapter of the show, it doesn't mean that it's the end so far. And that means that there's going to be a lot more, I think, Patreon exclusive things. So you're definitely going to be you're going to want to be a part of that. And don't take my word for it. Ask any of our audience members that are part of the Patreon. You'll get a Discord link. You'll get involved in the chat. And believe me, that's where all the awesome conversations are happening. So join the Patreon, get in the Discord, have a chat, and have fun. It's just all fun in there. You know why? Because Corey and myself, we're not rock historians, and we're not experts on Van Halen, and we never claim to be. We are just simple, humble fans rediscovering this band that we already enjoyed, and we're enjoying it more and more, even when we get pissed off at certain members. It doesn't matter. We're here to celebrate the music that was made, not what is happening. So it's an important distinction. So there you go. As I forgot to release the Patreon list, I got to thank you guys for being part of this
All right.
journey.
Go ahead and do that then.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we're not professional podcasters either. We do the best that we can, and sometimes technical difficulties happen. But you know what's not difficult? Reading off the list of our patrons here, like Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flave, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, David Lee Smith, Chad Pollock, and new patron, Brett Parker from Dissect That Film. Great podcast and great Twitter follow. So thank you all so much for staying with us on this journey, man, and keeping helping us keep the lights on and giving us lots of ideas and lots of things to think about as we progress into this new venture. We're not there yet. We still have, as I said, 14 more songs left on the wheel, but those 14 songs will come and go pretty quick. But have heart, because we still have live shows to do. We've already finished Van Halen 2, so we got to get down on that live show. We'll do that soon. Very close behind that will, I don't know. I think it's likely 1984. I hope to God it's Van Halen 3, just because I'm ready to rip that Band-Aid off, and I really don't want that to be the last song we cover in this iteration of the show. It would be somewhat ironically poetic, but at the same time, it would not be fun. Unless, of course, you guys continue to build the army of Apologies to Gary shirts, and he does see them, and he joins us on the show, and is like, well, now we have to talk about Josephina. It's the last track of that album. So, Gary, please come on the show, and let's have a discussion, my dude. All in good due course, though. But again, like I say, so much fun conversations and a lot of great stuff happening in our Discord, and the only way to get in that Discord is to join the Patreon. So do that. Corey, you're on.
I tell you what, Scott, one of the Scots in the Discord, Scott Monroe, I believe it was, put a demo of Bullethead from the Atomic Punks in our Discord. So I can't bring up Discord on my computer now for some reason, but become a patron, join the Discord. You can check that out and get an idea of how Bullethead would have sounded in 1977. All right, but that music only I and the patrons can currently hear could mean only one thing. It's time to do the pod roll. Podema, here we go. We're going to talk about all of the great shows on the Deep Dive Podcast Network, including a couple of shows I have archived right now. They're all done. Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, and Backtracks the Music. I can also check myself at Kevin Brown doing the Ultimate Catalog Clash, breaking down an artist's discography every season. This season is 1990s Metallica. We're actually going to record the side D of Reload after I get off the call on this one, and that'll wrap up that season of the Ultimate Catalog Clash. So check that show out. And then we have Kevin Brown at the Tom Petty Project, Kevin and Randy Woods at Seaside Pod Review, Scott Haskin did the Uriah Heep Show, The Magician's Podcast, that's currently archived, Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Terry T-Bone Matthew at T-Bone's Prime Cuts, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, that one's wrapped up as well, Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hetty at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast, Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, Quentin and Volume for All, Sam, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu, Chaz and Shats at Rush Rash, Chaz and Wolfie at Regarding Rogers, and our good buddies, the Sean Geek and Fast Red Podcast, the DLR Cast, the Bogus Oda Show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th Podcast, Dissect That Film, Three's Company 2, a Rewatch Podcast, and a new show by one of our patrons, Mr. Scott Everett, is doing a show called Rewind to 1984. Check that out wherever you get your podcasts from. And, of course, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. This last week, they just started February. Songs in the vein of Lou Rawls. So if you want to get tender with your lady, turn into Pot of Thunder this month, and you might see a little action. And that is all the podcasts you should be listening to.
That is so much to choose from, you guys. You'll never be wanting for a rock or music-related podcast ever again. That's how we do it here at the Deep Dive Network. It's great. It's all fun. And it's incestuous because we're all like on each other's shows and like everyone crosses the streams all the time. But that just means that we've formed a camaraderie in this network. And it's all thanks to you guys checking this out, man. And just like... having the same sort of like-minded feelings that we have for these bands, including Van Halen, which is why Corey and I are doing this show. And we thank you all for being part of it. We hope that you stick around for the next 14 weeks at the least, but we'll have more stuff along the pipeline. So until that time, on behalf of Kelsey, Corey, and myself, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.